In the third stanza, there's no enemy. The fire feeds, paradoxically, upon itself. It nourishes and burns and consumes itself. And notice also, it's personified. On the ashes of his youth doth lie. It feeds upon itself, it nourishes and burns and destroys itself. There will be no phoenix coming up again from the ashes of this conflagration. The poem, in other words, is moving logically, almost inexorably, to its conclusion. And I'll say something about the couplet in a moment. But let me point out something else about two other incidental details about the beauty of the poem. First of all, there seems to be something odd or arbitrary in line 2. That time of year thou mayst in me behold when yellow leaves or none or few do hang upon the boughs. If we were to think strictly logically, we would say that the order of that adjective, of those adjectives, should be yellow, few, or none. Some leaves, fewer leaves, no leaves. So the question is, why are those adjectives in that order? And I think the reason is this. Yellow leaves have a certain kind of beauty. No leaves have a certain kind of cold, icy, skeletal symmetry. Few leaves represent, in fact, the saddest of the possibilities, because having a few leaves on the tree gives you a reminder of what once was. So although the ordering seems, on the one hand, irrational, there is a cause for it. And the second thing I would say about an incidental detail concerns the fourth line. And it shows how wonderfully compacting and various and outgoing Shakespeare's imagination is. He sees the boughs of the trees, and he then thinks about choirs, bare ruined choirs, where late the sweet birds sang. In the summer, in the spring, the birds inhabited the trees, and they sang. Trees are like choirs. He's also, I think, thinking of monasteries. Henry VIII had dissolved, had ruined, had torn up the monasteries earlier in the 16th century, and a monastery, of course, would have had choir stalls. And the sweet birds in that case would be the choir boys who would wear little ruffled collars that would make them look rather like birds. There's also a kind of pun. The word choir, C-H-O-I-R, is a pun on the word choir, Q-U-I-R-E, which are sheets of paper. My own writings, in other words, in the past. So it's a remarkable way of compacting these things together. When we get to the couplet, we find that it doesn't quite say what we would expect it to. I would have thought the couplet would go something like, "This thou perceiv'st, which makes thy love more strong, to love me well, for I might leave, or I must leave, ere long." But he says, "You must love me well, because you are going to leave," which means either you are going to leave me, to love that well, to love me well, you are going to leave me, or if we take that to refer not to me, the speaker of the poem, but this whole panorama, this life, it's a warning to the young man. You are going to leave life. You are going to leave me, as the young leave the old, but you too are going to die, grow old, and leave life, so appreciate it now. I've just reduced the poem to a cliché, and I hope you see how silly that kind of reductiveness is. The poem ends, after all of its richness of tonality, with resignation and with warning. This is what Shakespeare can do better than anyone else. In the next lecture, we'll turn to one of his contemporaries and several of his followers. Thanks.